Who's this? All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I got a question for you. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's the Grim Lord's not-so-hentai corner. The reason why I say that is because Sakura Tomori Dreamers has hentai all the way to the fucking back. Like, it's not even really that far. So, yeah. It's kinda, I mean, they say it's a roge. Oh, it's still a roge if they have a sex scene. That's like calling a porn movie just because it has one sex scene in it. That doesn't work for me. Anyway, we gotta call it what it is. The community seems to flock more if you put hentai in the fucking name. I don't know why. YouTube, whatever. Anyway, here we go. Let's get it started. Sponsor, spinningrobotpussy.com. Get that today. Also, Jest USA, pick up a copy of Closed Game. Collector's boxes coming soon. So go to Jest USA, get yourself a copy. There was a 1.2 patch came out for Closed Game. I was not playing with it last night. That's why my text was weird. They apologized. They sent me the patch. I got the patch now, so when I play it again, we'll have the patch. There's a lot of grapes in that one, apparently, so we'll see. We'll see how that works. Anyway, let's get back to Sakura Tomori Dreamers. Heh. I'm impressed you can get that into anime at your age. What? I'm still a student. The chief snorted from behind a horse racing newspaper. You're incredible, Shinji. I knew you were special. Hide regarded me with a wide grin. We weren't talking about anime. I'd been retelling him what happened with the Moriyasu's case. The chief didn't seem interested in our talk anyway, and it wasn't technically a secret either. So you were a hero after all, Shinji. You said heroes punish the wicked, right? Yes, see? You get it. I'm just repeating what you said. Might as well grab something to eat. You want anything? It's not on me, just so we're clear. No, I already ate. You're having dinner at this hour. What do you mean? It's just 9 o'clock. It sounded like they might as well have lived in a different time zone from me. Well, maybe that was to be expected, though they only had 2 employees. Garota's detective agency was open 24 hours a day. What should I eat today? I'd like pizza. Huh? I can't hear you. I guess pizza's expensive, especially when we're in the red at the end of every month. We're not in the red, we're just barely getting by. Come to think of it, I've yet to see a single customer in this place. I'll give you a cut if you introduce some to us. You specialize in affair investigations, right? None of my friends are married. Haven't you read the sign on the door? We'll take anything. Except for murders, that is. I'll go with ramen rice. Okay. Hide turned to me as the chief began dialing the number. But from the way it sounds, there are still other killers hiding in this town, right? Yeah, probably. And no one can deal with them. Not the police nor a private eye. So you're planning to continue going after them as a member of Sakura Tomori Dreamers? That's right. I see. Hide nodded with a smile. Good luck, Shinji. Thanks. I stood up as the chief got off the phone. I'll be going then. See you. I left the cramped detective agency and headed to the bustling station. You wouldn't have guessed there was a stabbing incident here just the other day. Trains are vital to the infrastructure of our town, so you couldn't exactly close the station for every little incident, but it's probably just how humans were in general. Nothing stood in place. A disturbance yesterday became status quo today. No one even mentioned Tono's name in class anymore. Only a select few silently suffered from her disappearance. It was almost as though they were too scared to heal their wounds. It was just like that with Madoka too. It caused a huge commotion in class at first, or so I was told. But by the time I returned to school, everyone seemed to have long gotten over it. Only a select few would silently and permanently suffer from their wounds, and I. The wound on my heart was what pushed me forward. As such, I was too scared to let it heal. Morning.
Ohayo.
Good morning.
Ohayo.
Good morning.
Kesa wa asagaeri dewa nai mitai ne.
I see you slept properly at home tonight. I don't go out as much as you think. I gave her an awkward smile. This was how she greeted me ever since I explained why I might not be around some mornings. Well, it'd be a problem if it was every day. Yeah. She certainly wasn't wrong. To be honest, Miss Miyako didn't really believe me. She thought of Sakura no Mori Dreamers as some sort of circle of friends that like to party overnight, the thought of which didn't exactly please her. I'm impressed Hatsune actually let you join a circle with so many girls. I'm not in a position to tell him what to do. Really? I think you are. Actually, I think you should have. Can't you have them let Hatsune join too? It's only open to those who have unusual powers. Miss Miyako was particularly interested in that. Our interpretation of the situation was completely different, so I couldn't blame her. But Sakura no Mori Dreamer's activities were far detached from playing or partying. I had experienced that firsthand. I see. Well, I suppose I can't do anything about that. I'm sorry, Hatsune. You don't need to apologize. Hatsune has been obviously very lonely lately. That's not true. Really now? Well, maybe a little, but that's all. But it's okay, he tells me everything they do. I see, I suppose that's at least something. For our next story, we have reports of an incident of a woman falling through a faulty manhole cover. Well, shit. Yesterday at 9:10 p.m., the police received reports about an open manhole on the One Chrome Road. Upon arriving at the scene, they discovered a woman lying unconscious in the sewer. She was transported to an area hospital, was confirmed dead soon after arrival. Yeah, that's usually what happens when you fall down a sewer. Another strange accident. I never even heard of something like that happening to manhole covers before. Just what is going on? This town is truly getting strange. Strange accidents and incidents kept happening in Sakura no Mori. It didn't seem like the number of Bodoks had decreased much with Moriyasu's death. More likely, there were other killers in this area. At least the Joker should have still been around. It'd be a while before Sakura no Mori could see real peace. I ate Miss Miyako's lunchbox as usual during lunch. It must have been pretty hard for them to go between my house and theirs every morning and evening, but Miss Miyako even prepared me lunchboxes on top of everything. I really couldn't thank her enough. Did you break up with Kirito? Huh? You... You were always... Okay. You were always together lately. Are you still meeting up after school? I haven't broken up with her because we weren't even dating. Really? The whole school was full of rumors about you two. I mean, that stuck-up Kirito was spending all of her break time with a guy, so... People were talking about us? I didn't even notice. Well, Kirito stood out even when she didn't hang around a guy during break, so that was hardly surprising. You're not lying to me, are you? No, why do you think I'm eating my lunch with you? Hmm, that's a relief. No, I'm lying. I want you to get over it already. Sabe looked away from me. I can't even begin to imagine how someone could get a girl like that. His eyes were fixed on Kirito, who was gracefully eating her lunchbox with her back as straight as an arrow. Have you tried speaking to her? I mean, what, me? Yeah, no. Yeah. Maybe that's your problem there, sir. Why are you getting embarrassed now? I wouldn't even dare to aim that high. Just as Shizumiya said, Kirito appeared to have been easy to misunderstand after all. After school. She doesn't bite, but her grandfather might. Madoka spoke up as I was getting ready to leave. Your friend mentioned it during lunch, but why don't you talk more to Kureya and Mahoro? I don't think you should be shy with them. You're comrades now. That's even more significant than just being friends. I'm not really being shy. There were still other people around me, so I whispered. I said it before, but you should treasure and appreciate this fateful encounter more, I think. I imagine risking your lives together does strengthen your bond, but it'd be nice if you could also meet up and talk about the little things sometimes. I think that's very important too. I just shrugged. Madoka regarded me with a sad smile. You don't need to be considerate of me either. You have a wound on your heart, and I'm praying for it to heal as soon as possible. I don't want it to heal. Huh? What? Sorry, I was talking to myself. Mean. That was a little mean. Though given it was Madoka, it was most likely a joke to lighten the moon. The mood, rather. She'd been worried about me being stuck, She'd been worried about me being stuck in the past from the very start. I knew that, but I still couldn't bring myself to move forward and leave her behind. First, I had to find the bastard that killed her. Don't forget about that guy. Until then, the wound would have to stay, even if it meant rubbing salt into it myself. Ah, it's Kureya. I've already listened to enough of that today. No, I mean she's right over there. Madoka pointed up. Is she on the roof again? Yeah, but she's... She's not alone. It looks like something's going on. From this angle, I could only see Kirito and someone else from behind. It didn't look like they were having a lighthearted conversation either. Go over there. Get in their way. All right. I turned around and walked back to school. It was a sad state of affairs to have a ghost be the one to push me in my romantic pursuits. The girl that was leaning against the fence gave me a sharp look as I stepped through the door. Oh shit. She's the one with the lab coat, folks. Oh shit. Ah, Fukugami. Girl in lab coat. A friend of yours? Yeah. As of scrutinizing us, the girl's eyes shifted back and forth between me and Kirito. I saw you from below. Huh? Ah, I see. It didn't seem that was what bothered her. Hey. She lightly prodded Kirito's side with her elbow and began whispering. They looked like nothing but good friends. When did you manage to find yourself a boyfriend? He's not my boyfriend. Shh. I can hear you. Oh. The girl in the lab coat smiled. It's just that Kureha kept complaining how she had few male friends and didn't even have time to find a boyfriend. I said that maybe once or twice when I got into this one shoujo manga. Now everyone keeps bringing it up over and over again. Really? Only once or twice? Yes. The mood looked completely different from what it seemed like when I saw them from afar. Did I misunderstand? This is Fukugami Shinji. He's my classmate, but now he's also a member of Sakura Nomori Dreamers. Her smile instantly disappeared. So you found a new partner, I see. Yes, luckily. Kirito gently deflected the lab coat girl's sharp tone. This is Arisaka Mifuyu. I think it's... No, I didn't say that right. This is Arisaka Mifuyu. We've been friends since elementary school. You don't need to introduce me. Really? Why? We're in different classes and we attend different clubs. It's just a waste to remember each other's name. You might be in different classes and clubs, but... You can still be comrades. Not likely. The air was tense, or more precisely, the tension from earlier was back. What were you talking about? It's got nothing to do with you. Really? I wouldn't say so if it's related to Sakura Nomori Dreamers. Yes. That's exactly what we were talking about. I'm going home. Okay, it's Mifuyu. Or Mifuyu. Okay. Didn't you have enough already? Arisaka gave Kureha a cold glance over her. Or is it Arisaka? It's probably Arisaka. Arisaka gave Kureha a cold glance over her shoulder. You found the partner you were looking for. You don't need me anymore. That's not what I wanted to talk about. I want you to stop putting yourself in danger. You're still hunting Bodox, aren't you? Arisaka glared at us and hurried off of the roof. Kirito suggested we move to the Sakura no Mori Park. It wasn't because of what Monica said, but I felt it have been cold to just leave her after what had happened. Ah, the cherry blossom petals are already gone. Yeah. Just the other day, the park was completely covered in pink. Was still completely covered in pink, rather. Time sure flies. The park felt a lot bigger without all the flower viewers. Though I could still spot people walking their dogs or parents enjoying the afternoon with their children. We walked to the closest tree, avoiding the roots covering the ground. About what happened earlier, Kirito nodded. She, Mifuyu, used to be in Sakura no Mori Dreamers. I figured as much. She had mentioned that her best friend used to be her partner, and that they were now estranged. I asked her to come back many times already, not only for the actual job. We used to be really good friends. That's how it looked to me, too.
So?
Really? You mean today? Yeah. I'm not sure about that. We kind of ended up fighting in front of you. On the surface, sure, but I glimpsed something different, deeper. The core of your relationship felt warm. To be honest, I can't blame Mifuyu for leaving. I wasn't sure if I'd be polite to ask her to elaborate. If it'd be polite to ask her to elaborate. Monica was the only girl I'd ever been close to, so I always had a bit of trouble figuring out how close I could be to people. So I'm not really in a position to ask her to return, but... There's something else that's been bothering me. Bothering me a lot, in fact. Kiriha continued by herself while I hesitated, so it was probably okay to ask. I heard you mention her doing something with Bodox. Yes, that's right. Mifuyu is actually trying to capture one. Huh? She wants to capture a Bodox? It took me so off guard, I didn't know what to say for a moment. I never even considered such a possibility. But what for? Well... Her gaze wandered around the trees. It seemed she was reluctant to answer me. I'm sure it's not to draw it, though she is in the arts club. Kureha smiled, or Kureha, whatever. It's not a good idea to approach them out of your own volition, though, regardless of the motive. Yeah. I told her a million times, but she doesn't listen. She's a bit of a weirdo, you see. Really? Yes, I mean, she always wears that lab coat outside. I think you're pretty weird yourself, if that's all it takes. Huh? Really? Why? You always wear a kimono. But kimono are way nicer than lab coats. Though I agreed on that point, the fact she sounded so hesitant and had to seriously think about it almost made me laugh. But is it even possible to capture a Bodok? I don't know. I've never heard of that being done before, but Mifuyu seems oddly confident. I see. The person in question sounded like she was serious enough to ignore the warnings of her former best friend, at least. I wonder if she's not aware of how dangerous they can be. No, that couldn't be it. Arisaka used to belong to Sakura Mori Dreamers. Or maybe she knew of Bodox from the dreams. It was possible she had never witnessed their capabilities in the real world firsthand. I don't think she's not aware of it. Yeah. I gave her an absent-minded nod. Perhaps maybe it'd be a good idea to warn her myself. Ha! The thing I want most of all, though, is to make up with her. I mean, we used to be best friends. I'm sure you'll be able to do it. I didn't mean it as a consoling remark. I honestly believe she possessed that kind of power. That'd be nice. It'll be okay. Thanks. Kirito brightened up and leaned away from the cherry blossom tree. Thanks for listening. I think I'll go home for today. See you tomorrow. Yeah, bye. The next day, I headed straight to Arisaka's classroom after school. Kirito didn't seem optimistic when I asked her for a class, but still, do what you will, she said, or something to that effect. Arisaka wasn't in. I asked the nearby student about her, and it turned out we just missed each other. I think she went to her club. She's pretty into it. I see. Thanks. I headed to the arts club room. While I found some people inside, she was nowhere to be seen. I think she's in the inner yard. She spends most of her time painting over there, arts club member says. I thanked them, and this time, headed to the inner yard. There she is. She stood out. I recalled having a glimpse of her a few times during myself at this school. Oh, I'm sorry. She stood out. I recalled having caught a glimpse of her a few times during my time at this school. I guess I just got kind of lost in the art. Hello? Oh, you're the boyfriend from yesterday. I'm not really her boyfriend, but... Are you sure? I mean, no other guy has the guts to act that familiar around her. I'd like to think we're comrades. A comrade, huh? Her expression suddenly grew cold. It seemed like she was more upset with Sakura no Mori Dreamers than Kirito to me. So what do you want with me? Arisaka dragged her paintbrush along the canvas. Kirito told me you were trying to capture a Bodok. And? I just thought that wasn't such a good idea. Arisaka's hand paused and she directed her gaze to me. Huh? You came all this way just for that? I nodded. You're a strange one. Really, come to think of it, Kirito said the exact same thing when we spoke for the first time. Kureha is a weirdo too, so in that sense you're perfect for each other. She said you were weird too, though. Me? How? You wear your lab coat everywhere. By the way, she's getting paint all over it. I mean, just... That's just because it'd suck if I got paint on my uniform. I understand why you're wearing it now, but you were wearing it on the roof yesterday. It's too much of a pain to take it off. Oh yeah, I imagine it's just terrible. It's not even like a belt or anything. All you do is you just slip it off. It's not that hard. You only needed to slip out of it. Right! Just woman's excuse. Oh, it's too painful to take off. No, just lean back and it'll slide off, I guarantee it. Because I've done that shit before. Darn, you're really looking at me like I'm some weirdo now. Well? Well, yeah. Well, okay. I'll admit it. We're alike in that sense. She turned back to the canvas as though nothing had happened. I'm always painting like this alone, while the other club members hang around in the club room. You like being alone? Uh-oh, he drilled her on something she didn't want to talk about. That's why she's changing the subject. She's like, I guess so, You didn't come here for small talk, right? What were we talking about? About your plan to capture a Bodok. Well, I'll keep your warning in mind, which means she pretty much threw it in the garbage. It didn't sound like she had any intention of obeying it, though. Yeah, she didn't. She threw it in the garbage. I get it. You've already ignored the warning of your best friend. It's just... I'm curious if you really felt the true terror Bodoks are capable of firsthand. Experienced. It seemed that caught her attention. She turned to me. What do you mean? I've seen a bunch of them possess people all around me. And all of them died right before my eyes. My parents were even among them. So I know how dangerous they can be better than anyone. What about you? Do you only know of them, or have you experienced what they're capable of? I'd say so. I hesitated. I wasn't expecting that reply. They weren't my parents, but a person I knew was possessed by a Bodok and passed away, so I've experienced it in a sense. I see. Mifu. Oh, well, whatever. Yeah, okay. I have to read that. Our conversation ceased as the swish of brush strokes became the only sound in the yard. Well, I'll keep your warning in mind. I suppose the fact that her tone grew somewhat warmer was enough of an achievement. How'd it go yesterday? I shook my head. Well, I'm not surprised. Mifu's stubborn like an ox. I never expected her to change her mind on the first try. Are you saying you're planning to keep doing this? Yeah, I'll go again today. Think it'll have an opposite effect if she thinks I'm too persistent? I'm a little surprised. You really are kind, Fukugami. She didn't answer my question. It was the same with Tono, too. You acted right away, even though there was nothing in it for you. I hope Mifu can learn to appreciate that. And she was gone. I actually really wanted her to answer my question. Well, you've got nothing to lose. Over 90% of girls like assertive guys, at least according to my research. I decided to pay Arisaka another visit. I don't know why. Hold on, let me hit the backlog on that. I think I missed something important. Over 90% of girls like assertive guys, at least according to my research. Well, your research is true, Marika! 90% of girls do... more like 100. They just won't admit it. The other 10% won't admit it. After school, I glanced out of a corridor window to see if Arisaka was painting in the inner yard just like yesterday. She definitely stood out. The reason she didn't leave much of an impression on me last year was probably because I was still preoccupied with Monica's death. It consumed every aspect of my life. I could see that now, though I felt like I'd improved lately. That alone made joining Secure Nomori Dreamers worth it. Hello? God, I bet she's getting tired of that. Yep, you again. That's what you say to somebody you want to leave. Oh, damn, you again? What do you want now? It didn't seem like she appreciated me being here. Kirito said you were stubborn, so I figured I wouldn't be able to convince you on the first try. I am stubborn, so I won't change my mind no matter how many times you come. Sorry. Right, I was mainly trying to convey that she hadn't really experienced the true terror of Bodox. But now that I'd learned we were in a similar situation as far as that was concerned, I had nothing else. You really are a strange one. Really? We aren't even friends. I'm just a friend of a friend. In other words, a complete stranger. But we're connected by fate. What? Wait, weren't you dating Kureha? I'm pretty sure I said I wasn't. Are you really not planning on going back to Secure Nomori Dreamers? If you are, even a little, then we're comrades, which means we're bound by fate. Oh, so that's what you meant. I thought... She mumbled something with a troubled look on her face before returning to her usual stern look. I'm not planning to return. Now that she finally found a new partner, I got even less of a reason to do so. Really? I personally think the more comrades one has, the better. Too bad for you. Arisaka turned back to the canvas and began painting as though I wasn't even there. It seemed like it'd be best to leave her alone for today. But when I was about to turn to leave... Are you really planning to remain in Secure Nomori Dreamers? Yes. It's dangerous, you know. Kureha's grandfather told me all about it, but that's hardly a reason for me to step back. Have you received the tools already? Tools? The timer and sonar, you mean? Yes, if you have, can I see them, for old time's sake? Sure. It sounded like I was getting through to her. I quickly took out the mentioned tools out of my bag. They told me to try and keep them on me all the time, if possible. Arisaka nostalgically narrowed her eyes, and I played with them in her hands. What? That doesn't make any fucking sense. Arisaka nostalgically narrowed her eyes and played with them in her hands. Don't really get that, but yeah, we'll go with it. Thanks. She handed them back and began painting again. We sure we meant eyes? Is that all you wanted? Yes, I've got something to do, so see you some other time. You know, playing with her eyes and stuff, that's kind of weird. Oh, I'm going to take my eyes out and juggle with them for a while. I mean, I hope that's not what they meant. I know this is a horror novel, but damn, she's a zombie too? Okay, bye. I realized something didn't make sense as I walked. Yeah, you and me both. Arisaka didn't show any signs of being in a hurry at the beginning. Her attitude changed only after she saw my tools. Something's not right. Oh, she handed him back his tools. Okay, not her eyes. I was like, what the fuck? I checked the timer. There didn't seem to be anything wrong with it. It looks like it's made of Bodox. You see how it's blue? It has that Bodox look to it? It's interesting. Then I checked the sonar. Whoa! Look at all those on the top left. That light. Monica's sharp voice confirmed my suspicions. I nodded. A Bodok signal blinked at the very edge of the map. The scale seemed to have been set to max, which meant it was probably around 10 kilometers away. Ah, I see. That's what Irisuka wanted to know. Yeah. I knew her goal from the start, yet I still handed her a thing like that without a second thought. She narrowed her eyes, not because she felt nostalgic, but because she was trying to make out the map. I checked the arts club room and her classroom, but Irisuka was nowhere to be found. I checked the sonar again. The map was very basic, but you could change the magnification at will. It was possible to pinpoint a relatively accurate location if you knew how to use it. I've got to stop her. You do? But how would you do it? It's not like you can stop her by force. I know, which means I've got to get there before her. Are you really going? There's going to be Bodoks there. I nodded. I know what you want to say, but I can't leave her by herself. And it's partly my responsibility, too. And I'm not so sure about that. Mifuyu seems to be acting completely of her own accord. But I won't stop you if you made up your mind. I hurried to the exit. There was no way Irisuka would walk 10 kilometers to the target. She'd probably use a taxi or bus, most likely the former. It was not a significant distance for a bike. I could make it even if I went home first. You're really too nice for your own good, but maybe that's exactly the part of you I fell for. Oh, thanks. For a moment, a memory of our time together floated into my mind, if you guys remember. Well, she was much younger looking in those. Well, I mean, time has passed. I shook it away and hurried home. Sakura no Mori was a cozy town surrounded by mountains and ocean. The mountains were approximately 20 kilometers from the coast. Most of the residential districts were spread along the shore, so 10 kilometers from my current location was basically the outskirts of town. Would Grim Reaper-like beings really assemble in a place so far from people? I kept stopping and checking the sonar to confirm their location. The signal remained at the same place, and I was definitely growing closer to it. Looking at the number of dots, quite a few Bodoks had assembled over there. It reminded me of what Kirito said. Yes. Yes, they seem to be attracted to places where tragedies occurred, or would occur. I already knew it to be true from what I saw at Forza Sakura no Mori. I had a really bad feeling about this. I'd never normally go to this area. A range of mountains appeared before me as the sonar pointed me onward. A car stopped behind me. Thanks. The taxi drove past me and disappeared into the horizon. Fukigami! Oh, well, yeah, she's saying it. That's cool. Hey! Okay, I didn't expect that. You tracked me all the way here? Don't tell me you were just randomly cycling in the area. I wasn't. Damn. It seemed I really caught her off guard. Why would you do that? It's dangerous to approach Bodoks for no reason. That's my line. If you realize how dangerous it is, then... But I've got a reason. You mean capturing one of them? She nodded. Seriously, why did you come? I'm not going to be held responsible for you. That's an odd question. I was the one who showed you the sonar. That's... Arisaka's expression softened. I apologize for lying. I'm sorry. So please, go home. I shook my head. You're a stubborn one, aren't you? Arisaka gave me an indignant look and blushed slightly. It's not my problem then. I'm going. Wait. I told you it's useless to stop me. That's not it. I was in a hurry and forgot my chain. You what? I'll find a place to hide my bike real quick, so just give me a moment to do that, okay? You really are a weird one. Arisaka turned away from me. I interpreted that as acquiescence and quickly hid the bike in the bushes. This is my treasure, so I couldn't afford to let it get stolen. I found her still waiting for me as I hurried back. A little side note, I used to ride my bike everywhere. Like, I was the bike guy. You know, I don't drive, so I always rode my bike everywhere. And yeah, finding places out of the way to throw your bike and hide it? Oh yeah, you've got to do that. So in the bushes, stuff like that, yeah, you got to be careful. People will steal your shit. I found her still waiting for me as I hurried back. So what's your plan? Can I see the sonar again? I could only guess the general location from the glimpse earlier. No. Oh, okay then. Well, I still know the general location. He might as well have just let her see it because, I mean, she's not gonna fucking stop. When you got a woman that goddamn determined, you might as well just say, fuck it. Arisaka turned away and this time walked away with a determined stride. The paved road continued even as we headed into the mountains. The slope was steep, probably about a 20-degree incline. Being a cyclist made me extra sensitive to these things. Small trees covered the sides of the roads, but I didn't know what species they were. Tired? I'm just out of breath. I'm surprised you aren't, Fukagami. Well, it's not fair to compare the stamina of guys and girls. Boom! Red pill. I kind of doubt that's it. Phew. Oh, sure, sure. She had made a comment earlier about how it was harder to move in a lab coat and had taken it off. Oh, you see? You see? You see how she contradicted herself? She's like, oh no, it's too much. She was talking about how cumbersome it was to take off the lab coat. But then when it prevents her from moving with something she needs to do, she just throw it off like it's nothing. She's like, nope, can't move in this thing. Boom, throws it right off. Do you know what those trees are? I think those are tangerines. My uncle told me there are tangerine orchards in this area. But they might be abandoned by now. He also mentioned that there was no one taking care of them. I looked around and indeed, the area didn't at all look like it was being well kept. The paved road indicated there should have been some sort of traffic, but we had yet to see a single person. We were walking along such a desolate, lonely path. No, it's starting to cloud over. Why do you want to capture a MODOK? I waited for a while, but received no answer. Is it around here? Arisaka didn't know the exact destination, so I hoped it would pass by if I managed to distract her. However... Oh, a building! The only buildings we've seen so far were prefab huts, but this was an actual house. I wonder if it's abandoned, or is it someone's summer home? That was fucking broken glass in there. I mean, damn, shit looks like it hasn't been used in a long time. There were cracks along the exterior walls and weeds had overtaken the porch. It didn't look like anyone was living in it. Uh-oh, there's one of them. Did you see that? You saw that, didn't you? You don't need to say it. I can tell. Your emotions are easy to read just from your face. I let out a sigh. I saw it, did you? Yes, this place just at the right distance, too. I'm sure the sonar was pointing at this house. I couldn't feign ignorance anymore. I checked the sonar again. Damn, this is pretty crazy. What is? There's a lot of them there. I can tell even better at this range. I'm not lying. Look. I can tell from your expression. I return the sonar to my pocket. I think we should turn back, Arisaka. I regarded her with a serious expression, but she only returned a callous glance. It's not that dangerous to pass by them in town, but this building is no joke. I looked at the single-story house again. I wouldn't want to get anywhere near it, even if I didn't know what lurked inside. I just had that kind of aura about it. Bodok's only a symbol in dangerous places. You know that as well as I do, right? I guess. Darn, that caught me off guard. See, the sky itself is telling us to turn back. You think I'm gonna buy some nonsense you don't even believe yourself? It seems she had me read like a book. You've got an umbrella? No, what about you? No, it looks like we really can't turn back now. Was it fate that was pushing us to go into this house? This time I thought of it almost seriously. Ah, I said we, but you're of course free to do whatever you want. I came all this way, might as well stick to the end. Okay. Holy shit. Both of us gasped as soon as we stepped inside. I expected this, yet a chill still ran across my skin. Ah! Although they had no eyes, nose, or ears, the Bodok still somewhat reacted to us. Arisaka clutched my hand surprisingly tightly. Unlike in dreams, there was nothing we could do to fight them here. Kirito's grandfather once told me why. Bodoks are like a reflection on the water. All you can do is strike at the surface. Indeed, they might vanish. Indeed, they might vanish for a moment as the water ripples, but they'll be back in just a few moments, completely unchanged. You might think you're affecting them, but all you're doing is fighting with water, so keep that in mind and avoid needless contact if at all possible. A Bodok stopped just a few centimeters away from Irisika's face and, as though having lost interest, turned around. It's like, fuck this, I can't do anything anyway. I didn't know if interest was a bit too human-like of an expression for those things. All the other Bodoks that turned to us as we stepped in, they too resumed shuffling around, minding their own business. Doing Bodok shit, whatever Bodok shit is. Ah, I'm sorry. You know, you got a couple of them at a craps table, and, you know, I got a bunch of them smoking, drinking, whatever they do. Whatever Bodoks do. Chilling. First time I saw so many in one place. Yeah. This was even worse than what we found in Forza. Just what happened in this house. Arisaka still held my arm. I gotta confess, I'm not that good when it comes to horror. Arisaka stared at her hands, clutching my arm as though having just noticed it now. I don't mind. Oh, there is one thing say about relationships. A lot of guys, they say, you know, you see like in shows and in anime and stuff where the girl will grab the guy's hand and arm if some shit goes down and she's scared. That does actually happen in real life pretty bad, and most women don't even realize they're doing it. I don't care how ardent of a feminist she is, if she gets scared out of her fucking wits, she's gonna grab that first man. I swear to God. She's like, why are you grabbing me so tight? It's like, shut up! And yeah, because they're like that, because they know that it goes against every fucking bone in their body to do that, but it's a survival sense. To grab the man, that like goes all the way back to the caveman days. She's gonna grab his arm like, oh, protect me, man, do what you're supposed to do. And you're like, hey, I thought you were the strong, independent feminist. Well, not today. Today I'm the girl that doesn't want to get killed. And that's the truth of the matter. Biology hasn't changed in millions of years. That's why all this shit's so funny to me. Biology's always gonna be what it is. Anyway, I've got to do what I came here for. She quickly produced a perfectly normal-looking glass bottle from her bag. What's this? I'm gonna trap a bodok in this. Really? Is that even possible? Gramps once told me about... Well, hold on. Gramps once told me about bodoks being like reflections in the water. Did he tell it to you too? Yeah, he told me. I think that interpretation is correct for the most part, but... Arisaka nodded toward one of the bodoks with her chin. They still obey the laws of physics to an extent. Like you must have noticed that it appeared from the crack in the wall earlier. Their body can twist and bend. Their body can twist and bend in all sorts of crazy shapes, but they can't pass through walls. That was the impression I got in Forza 2. They move like a swarm of insects, which means they, like insects, obeyed physics. But are you sure you can stuff it into such a small bottle? I'm confident. Right, Kirito mentioned Arisaka was completely convinced her plan would work. Wait, can we investigate this house first a little? What do you mean? There's gotta be something in this place given the number of bodoks here. You said that yourself just earlier. I don't think that's got anything to do with me or my goal. Though I feel kinda guilty for making you come with me, so I guess that's the least I can do. Thanks. I felt like I just followed her out of my own volition, but if that was how she took it, all the better. I looked around the foyer again. Bodoks blocked my field of vision, but I could still tell the place was completely run down. Oh, lightning. Oh, that was thunder, of course. The thunder was close. The rain that I thought would let up right away grew even stronger. Let's split up. I'll check the bedroom. The bedroom, right. Yeah. Modok's parted to either side of the water as we moved towards them. Their insect swarm-like motions made my skin crawl. The rooms themselves were huge, but the house seemed to only have a combined kitchen and dining room and a bedroom. The place looked run down, but it had all the typical necessities lying around. It was as though the inhabitants had simply just disappeared. I checked the kitchen first and realized there was almost no dust on the floor. What about the other places, like the table? The table was covered by a thick layer of dust, and it was the same for the kitchen cabinets. It seemed the only path leading to the bedroom looked like it had been recently used. What is it? I moved to the bedroom and found Arisaka looking into a drawer on the desk, her face pale. This? I peeked inside, but couldn't quite understand what it was at first sight. They were flat, about 10 centimeters long. It almost looked like some sort of tool. The drawer was stuffed with these things. I reached in with the tip of my finger. I didn't know what they were, but I felt it would be unwise to try to touch them. The objects themselves were a dirty-looking brown and had an odor about them. I thought they were tools of some sort, but it seemed like I misunderstood. All of their sizes and shapes differed, so they couldn't be a manufactured product. Actually, they kind of looked like... Are those ears? My skin grew cold before suddenly flaring up. I forgot I didn't want to touch them, and I stuck my hand into the drawer. Similar but different when you looked at them up close. Just like people, no one had the same face, even if some could have looked similar. Joker. Joker was here. It appears like he's collecting their ears. The murder videos that appeared in Kirito's household's mailbox every now and again. All the victims in them had their ears removed. That's why there are so many Bodoks here. Joker has killed an insane amount of people already. I returned the drawer back to its position and wondered what would be the wisest course of action right now. What about relying on the police for a change? Ears weren't enough to prove a murder, but they still indicated a serious crime of some sort happened. The sound of the door's opening reached us from the main room. Arisaka's eyes widened, so much that I was worried they might pop out. We weren't in a dream right now. We had no powers here. I quickly looked around the room, but only noticed an old closet in the corner. The windows were locked, and we couldn't return to the main room. There was no escape. I pulled Arisaka's hand without saying a word and pushed her into the closet. Our breathing sounded awfully loud in my ears. Was that really? Or did it feel that way because we were trapped in a narrow space? Shit, we left the bottle on the desk. I'll get it back. You're crazy, Fukagami. He'll figure us out if he finds it. Ignoring your attempts to stop me, I opened the closet doors. I strained my ears but couldn't hear any footsteps. It looked like I still had time. You see how she like hugs up against him? She's like fucking scared to death. She starts to be like all independent and stubborn. Like, oh, I'm gonna do all this. And then the first sign of danger, she's hugging up on him. Like, oh my god, protect me, man. Protect me, brave, strong man. Yep. I quickly moved to the desk with my eyes on the door. It was just a few meters away, but it seemed like it took forever to reach it. My hand shook and the bottle slipped through my fingers, but I managed to catch it with my left hand before it struck the desk. Arisaka frantically signaled me to return. I clasped the bottle to my chest so as not to drop it again and quietly hurried back the way I came. The moment I closed the closet doors. We heard the sound of a foot stepping into the bedroom. A single ray of light shone into the closet through a crack in the doorway. I pressed my eye against it. A person in the room seemed to be at a blind angle from the crack in the closet. Frustrated, I turned my head left and right, but my field of vision didn't improve. Dead silence continued for what felt like an eternity. Did he notice us? Was he holding his breath and looking for an opportunity to attack us? He must have been just outside the door, yet I couldn't hear a single thing. But then, we heard it. It felt like my blood had turned to a boil, only to evaporate in an instant. Madoka's killer stood outside the closet door. I pressed my hand against the wooden frame, but held myself down at the last moment. I didn't care if I ended up dying in a fight. If anything, that was what I wanted. But I couldn't involve Arisaka in my reckless attempt at revenge. If I died, she'd most likely die too, and there's no way I could let that happen. I bit my lip with all my strength as the taste of blood trickled into my mouth. I addressed Madoka as I fought back the hurricane that raged in my heart. Can you see him? Can you see? Who is it outside the door? Monica could move within 1 meter radius from her ribbon. And unlike Bodok, she wasn't bound by any physical laws. She disappeared beyond the wooden frame and quickly came back. I can see him, but he has his face covered with his hands. His hands? Is he... crying? He's crying. I think so. Though he could just be laughing. His shoulders are shaking. He looks really weird. All he has on is his underwear. What the fuck? Is he the one that killed you? It was the one question that tore at my mind, but Monica wasn't very confident with her reply. I think so. He does look kind of similar. It was then I realized that my arm was hurting from how hard Arisaka was clutching it. Yup, she's losing her fucking mind. You can't really blame her at this point. There's a goddamn murderer in his underwear laughing around in the game. Yeah, I think. Any woman, I don't care how big, strong, feminist she thinks she is. Ain't gonna work. Not when you got some crazy fucking man. That motherfucker scared me. I mean, any man that's crazy enough to laugh and walk around in his goddamn underwear, like, and kill people in his goddamn underwear, man, You that brave and crazy. I mean, even if you try to fight him, he's got like that crazy autistic retard strength. Go in there and just, I don't know, he'd fucking stop you somehow. And be like, how the hell are you that strong? You know, it's just that weird shit. I figured it was out of fear and didn't pay it much attention, but then I realized something else. The timer had moved. What? The hands of the mechanism was covered with a fluorescent paint, so you could see it in the dark. I'll bet very slightly, moved to the right. Oh, wow. Yep, it moved to the right. It said very slightly, though. That's me. It seems I got possessed before I knew it. I looked at the timer again. Only the minute hand moved. Did it mean she only had 1 minute? Suddenly I remembered. Not all Bodoks here were attracted by the bodies. They also showed up in places where tragedies would happen. Which meant that Arisaka... Huh? He suddenly left the room. I looked through the crack as soon as I heard her voice. That's when you take the door of the closet and you go wham! Just right in, it'll probably knock that motherfucker back. He'd be knocked the fuck out. It's like, that's one thing you don't do. I've actually, I think a military guy told me, if there's somebody up there next to a door, you can use that door as a weapon, especially if it swings outward. If he's got his eye like that, you just whoom, right into him. It'll probably cause a concussion if you hit him hard enough, and he'll be knocked the fuck out. I mean, he'd be cold knocked out. Especially if he really puts all force into it. You put a good number of force in there, his ass is out. That's how you usually would take care of somebody. That's why you never get too close to a door like that. That's why you gotta be careful. Like, when you're going out of the bathroom, if there's a man coming in the bathroom and you're acting in the bathroom, because I damn near had this happen, you will knock the shit out of somebody if you just throw the door, because sometimes I do it. I'll just throw the door open, and I won't even know there's another man coming in. And I'll be like, oh my god, because I damn near have knocked some people out, and it wasn't even my fault. It's like, I just open the door, I didn't even know somebody else is coming in. You have to be careful, but you can fuck somebody up with a door. Just a door itself, because it's made as a block of wood there. You hit somebody with a block of wood, they're going to feel it. Don't matter if it's swinging out toward them or you hit them directly. I let out a gasp. He noticed it. There was no doubt about it. He's carrying a hatchet. He wouldn't be carrying that hatchet if that door hit him, let me tell you. That hatchet would fly out of his damn hand. He'd be trying to pick up his damn head, you know. A hatchet. Duck! I tightly clutched Arisaka's clothes and pulled her down together with myself. Alright, that's when, yeah, see? That's when you should have ran in. Oh, the guy looks like he's kind of got some muscle on him, but that's still, if you hit him hard enough, you probably hit and get him good. Yeah! A shower of debris and dust landed upon us, making it nigh impossible to breathe. But if we stayed on the floor, we'd end up being killed by the falling attack. Plus, I had to confirm his face with my own eyes. The face of the bastard that murdered Monica. But he was already gone by the time I stood up. I stepped over the piece of the closet and stood in the middle of the room. I turned to see Arisaka just as pale as before. Wait! Don't stop me, I... No, that's not what I meant. You just saved me. If you don't duck, you're probably gonna get your head cut off. You just saved me when I was possessed by a bodog. Didn't Kirito's grandpa tell you what that means? You can't try to save those that have been possessed by blue bodogs. If you do that, it jumps straight to the person who did the saving. I hurriedly checked the timer again. 1 hour. 1 hour. I'm sorry, it's my fault. Damn straight, she better feel sorry. She's the one who pulled you here in the first place. I shook my head. That wasn't the time to think about it. Though, would I really die in just an hour's time? I couldn't quite believe it. But I didn't do anything. If I didn't do anything, Arisaka would have most definitely been killed by that hatchet back then, too. In that sense, we could probably trust this timer, as screwed up as that was. You've got to get to Kirito's grandpa, but if we only have 1 hour, it'll take time for the taxi to get here. I can make it if I take my bike, as long as it wasn't stolen. We rushed out of the building and continued down the hall. The rain had abated as though it never happened. It was nothing but blue skies above us. Monica's bike was right where I left it. Can you call the police? Ah, yeah, got it. Ah, then I'll keep an eye on this place so the culprit doesn't come back and destroy the evidence. No, that's probably not a good idea. It's too dangerous. There are houses over there. You should ask him to let you in and wait for a taxi in there. Got it. Yeah, I got it. I saw her nod and stepped on the bike. I'm really sorry. I nodded and went down the hill at full speed. Ah, I grabbed the bottle before I knew it. Oh, she got one. A bodog. The bodog in the bottle looked like it had its mouth open and was screaming silently. It'll be fine. She risked her life to get this, and yet, her entire body shivered at the sight of it. I managed to make it somehow. Oh, Shinji. The two were already notified and waiting for me in front of the gates. Come inside, hurry! Okay. I was out of breath, so it was really hard to talk. I made it, but there was little time left. According to the timer, I still had 10 minutes. The pistol I saw earlier lay on the table. You know how to use it? You gotta pull back the hammer and pull the trigger, that's it. Yes. It has two real bullets and two blanks, just like you saw the other day. Kirito's grandfather showed me the cylinder again. Two of those cylinders could kill a person. Looking at them like this made it hard to believe. Well then. He picked up the revolver and handed it to me. Not even he could avoid the tension in these circumstances. Spin it like a roulette and stop it when you feel like it. I did like he said. The cylinder clicked as I stopped it, setting my fate in place. All I had to do was ready the hammer and pull the trigger. I was literally playing Russian roulette. Kirito entered the room, her face completely pale. You should wait outside. No, I want to be here. There's no way Fukigami will die in a place like this. I pressed the pistol against my temple. The cold, hardened steel made me shudder from the depths of my soul. The two regarded me with worried looks. I felt like I had died when Monica was killed. Revenge was the only thing keeping me alive. And I finally tracked down the culprit today. No way I could die now. I let out a long sigh, completely emptying my lungs. And... ah! The Bodok jolted out of my body, let out a soundless scream, and melted into the air, disappearing. You lucked out, kid. Thank goodness. Cold sweat broke out over my entire body. A combination of relief and exhaustion made me almost faint then and there. Kirito's grandfather regarded me with a mixed expression as I handed the revolver back. Is something wrong? No, I just thought you took it awfully well. Rather than the 50-50 chance, I was actually more worried about you being unable to do it. Waiting for your life to end and taking your own life require a completely different kind of resolve. Yet you pulled the trigger with little hesitation, even though it might have blown your brains out. What are you trying to say? He didn't have a choice. I was just rambling. Kirito's grandfather just slowly shook his head. Anyway, I'm truly glad you pulled through this. Yeah. A big wasp suddenly appeared in the room and zipped by our legs. Kirito's grandfather quickly opened the window and the wasp flew out. That nearly gave me a heart attack. Kirito pressed her palm against her chest. Where did that wasp come from? Had it been clinging onto my body since the orchard? It looked like it was startled by the heavy metallic click of the gun, but I remembered something a doctor once told me. It was when I went to the hospital to get a wasp sting treated. You may have heard of anaphylactic shock. To explain it in simple terms, your body synthesizes antibodies once you get stung. It's nothing serious the first time, but the second might make your body go through a severe allergic reaction. In the worst case scenario, you might even die. As such, please be extra careful from now on, and if something happens, treat it as quick as possible. The first 10 minutes are extremely important. I understand. And you too, kid. Make sure to stay away from bees and wasps from now on. Okay. 10 minutes. He definitely said 10 minutes. I looked at the revolver on the table. It was what chased off the wasp. My lack of hesitation might have truly saved my life. Huh? What happened to your lips, Shinji? Hmm. Oh, that's quite a scar you've got there. Yeah, I kind of accidentally bit it when I was eating. You must have been eating squid or something to bite that hard. I quietly nodded. I couldn't possibly tell them the truth. Arisaka called me sometime after the incident. I'm really sorry about what happened this afternoon. It's a weird uniform she's got on. It's like a military thing there. And then, of course, she's got this angel thing with a red jewel in the center of it. It's interesting. She told me about how things went with the police. I figured Kirito's grandpa would be more convincing than a mere student like myself, so I made him relay the information. But they contacted me earlier and said they couldn't find anything. It seems that the culprit managed to destroy the evidence in time. I could hear the frustration in her voice. I see. Although it was just blind luck, we were actually just a step away from capturing Joker. I almost forgot that he meant as much to the entirety of Sakura Nomori Dreamers as he did to me. Joker, a serial killer that the police were powerless to stop. I should have stayed behind. It's likely it would have simply killed you too in such a case. We can find him again. I said it mostly to myself. Yeah. Come to think of it, I suddenly thought of something. Didn't Arisaka insist that this was no longer her business? I don't think that's got anything to do with me or my goal. See you around. Yeah. My lip hurt when I ate. I only realized just how deep it was when I finally looked at it in a mirror. Just how hard did I bite it? But it would heal eventually. The pain was nothing if it helped me get a step closer to my revenge. So. I made myself remember that day. Hmm? I was just wondering if it hurt that bad. Yeah, it stings a bit, but I'm sure it'll heal by tomorrow. They say that licking them helps wounds heal, so if it's on your lips... It licked there? No way. I wasn't saying you shouldn't do it, Hatsune. Epilogue. Oh, wow. Good morning. Morning. It was unusual for Kirito to address me in school, even if it was just a greeting. Is something wrong? No, Grandpa told me to make sure you're doing okay and so on. But from your face, it doesn't look like you're still in shock after yesterday. I gave her a vague nod. Her grandfather was probably worried about something entirely different. I couldn't forget his expression after I pulled the trigger. I think he was worried about something else. Monica seemed to be in agreement with me. It's because you're reckless. You went beyond common sense in your fight with Moriyasu, too. I think that's what's bothering him. Shizumiya called me reckless, too. though she also praised me for being dependable. Mine wasn't really courage, though. I just didn't care about myself that much, though I decided to be a bit more careful from now on. I had a goal now. I couldn't throw my life away before getting that done. That was why I didn't hesitate to pull that trigger. Huh? What? Hold on. Wait, does that mean it's actually pushing me to be more reckless? In any case, I knew I wouldn't be at peace. Not until Joker was taken care of, at least. Oh, now there's a face I haven't seen for quite a while. Good evening. She said she's got something to discuss with us. Me too? Does that mean? Before that, though, have you properly apologized to Fukugami yet? I did. He didn't really say anything, though. I heard everything from Kureha. Kureha, it sounds like you two got in quite a bit of trouble. Yes, definitely. It's too bad about the Joker. Well, at least no one got hurt. So what was it you wanted to discuss? Yes, I was hoping I could join Sakura no Mori Dreamers again. You're welcome to, of course, but what changed your mind? I guess you could call it payback for what I did to Fukugami. You sure that's even related? He's gonna risk his life as part of your group from now on, right? In that case, he might find himself in danger again. And I'll be able to repay my... Okay. That was long. And I'll be able to repay my debt to him if I save his life then. So that sounds reasonable, upon first glance at least. What's that supposed to mean? Did you fall for him? No, this has nothing to do with that. I seriously just want to repay my debt. She trauma bonded with him, actually. Usually when two people go through trauma, they can be bonded, like a man and woman or whatever. They can be bonded together through that trauma. There's a lot of couples that actually got together because of trauma that they had went through at a certain time, experience that actually brought them together. That has happened before. I don't know why that works. It must be, again, some kind of biological shit we're still not quite aware of. But she says, no, this has nothing to do with that. I seriously just want to repay my debt. He said, well, your motivation matters little in the grand scheme of things. Now that I think about it, there's nothing wrong with being motivated by love. Fall for him? Seriously? Why do you sound so off-put by the idea anyway? What? I do? Do I really? So, ha, it seems you made yourself a strong rival, Kureha. What about you, Mahoro? She says, I don't know about that. It was your grandpa that said that, not me. I'd appreciate if everyone was clear on that. In any case, it sounds like we'll be able to perform 3-party dives from now on. That'll immensely lessen the danger of our missions. That's true. Anyway, that's all. I guess I'll call Fukugami. Huh? I can call him? Why would you call him and not me? This is not related, but did you know how perceptive Fukugami is? He dodged the Joker's attack from a blind angle with perfect timing. It was like he could see it somehow. I'd probably be dead if not for that. One of his abilities is seeing ghosts. Ghosts? I wonder if that's why he seemed completely unfazed even in that creepy house. I didn't think it would boost his perception and reaction time, though. It's just a thought, but maybe he has some ghosts accompanying him that does the scouting. Some ghost? Like who? I wouldn't know that. I feel like something or someone invisible is helping him, though. I see. A ghost? I suppose that's possible. If it's helping him, then that person must have been someone close to Shinji that died a tragic death in some way related to him. That would explain a few things. I can see something of a shadow hanging over him. Hey. Hey. Are you listening to me? You're so quiet. Why are you cowering over there? What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting? Aren't you cold? No. Aren't you hungry? No. Then you've got to stand. Stand and get out through that door over there. It's just 6 meters. You can't even move that much anymore? Have you ever thought of it this way? If I pass through that door, another world will be waiting for you beyond it. Another world? A warm place. Warm. A satisfying place. Satisfying. A place with no pain. Sounds like heaven. It's nothing that significant. I wonder if I can go there when I die. What do you mean? Ah, you can't do this. This is bad. You've got to stay quiet. Quiet. She's back again. She is. Keep quiet. Or it'll happen again. All right, chapter 3. Okay, they're doing Golden Week. All right, well, guys, that was all of chapter 2. I didn't realize we were going to do the whole thing, but we did. So, interesting. We had a run-in with the Joker. Introduced a new character who fell head over heels with head over heels for Shinji. And it's pretty good, pretty interesting. She captured a Bodok. And of course, we're hearing about this crazy surgeon lady again, who doesn't seem to be a character that was introduced. We don't have to worry about that. I just don't think she's Mifuyu. I don't think she is, because this character clearly has blue hair, and Mifuyu's hair is purple. So that's a clear, you know, dead ringer that she's not. But we do need to find out who this character is, because it is getting kind of interesting. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I was going to do another sound of drop, but I don't think I'm going to have time. I'll probably just have to go right into the H stuff. But I hope you guys enjoyed it, and it was a little longer, because I didn't realize we were just going to go right through the epilogue, so we did. And we'll be back with part 3, or chapter 3. If it goes that fast, then we'll be going through these chapters that quickly. But I hope you guys enjoyed it, and this will be the Grimlord, and I am out.